This is Steve Swallow.
This is Gene Perlman.
This is Bill Goodman.
Hello, I'm Jamie Headed, and you're listening to...
You're listening to...
Reads and Deeds 2.
Reads and Deeds 2.
Reads and Deeds 2.
Reads and Deeds 2.
On WECB.
At WECB.
On WECB.
Jazz Radio.
We're here on Reads and Deeds 2 with Danilo Perez. Danilo, it is an honor to finally be able to speak to you here on the show. Thank you so much. We're here to talk about this fantastic gig. It's coming up on May 2nd at the Regatta Bar in Cambridge. Mm-hmm. So we're very, very excited about this. And what this is the Berklee Global Jazz Institute, in collaboration with you, will be performing at 7:30 next week. So let's talk a little bit about the Global. What is the Berklee Global Jazz Institute, for those that are not familiar?
Lydia, the Global Jazz Institute is an honor program that promotes creative musicians who are going to be, and who my dreams are for people, for those musicians to be relevant in society, for those musicians to really be the ambassadors of the music, and to be the new warrior that practice social change, practice interconnective learning, relevant musicians. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, creative, but also really in tune with what society needs.
Very cool. So how has the Global been working to shape musicians in that way that you're speaking about? How is this program different from the other honors programs across the board as far as music schools go?
Well, we have the mentor program, which is very similar in a way. But we also have a component of social change that is very strong, which is the kids go to the community. For example, they go to retirement home and they play for the older people and they exchange with them. So in that way they learn. For example, I remember this wonderful experience, one of our talented saxophonists, that we were playing Misty. And, you know, she started playing it, and there was a guy in the wheelchair, and he was listening, and he was like, it's good, it's so good. And, you know, he heard the original version by Errol Garner.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow.
So then he said, but she needs to play the lyrics. She's not playing the lyrics. So I went to her and told her, Haley, go to that guy, and he'll tell you how to phrase this. So she went there, got close to him, looked at him. He started singing the tune, and it became magic.
Yeah.
So, you know, those kind of experiences, when you bring the music to the community also teaches you what the music does, the impact in the community. That's another thing. Also in Panama, they're working with underprivileged kids.
Right.
When they go for, you know, I have a foundation in Panama that takes people, takes underprivileged kids out of poverty through music. And that they have experience in that too. Also interconnected with different disciplines. We have a class that is a creative collaboration of the arts, where the teacher exposed them to painting, photograph, and they have to write pieces where they stimulate other senses, not just the theoretical and the musical aspect, but also dream. And it's a beautiful experience, you know, that it's multidimensional in a way. And then the last aspect that is really important for us is also ecological restoration. We haven't done as many things that I would like, but the idea is to take them to the jungle in Panama or the forest around here too, and do transcription of birds and do expose them to silence.
Yeah.
To the word of the nature, the sounds that nature offers that are like the first symphony in the world. Right. It's coming from nature.
Yeah. And speaking of Panama, this foundation that you have there, the students that are in the Global, as you said, did travel there. What was that experience like? I imagine that you know these students that you've been working with for many semesters very well, and probably at quite a personal level at this point. How do you think that experience shaped them as musicians, going to Panama and really doing what you have just described?
When somebody comes from a background where a lot of things are given, and sometimes somebody else has worked for it, but it's not your work, there's an illusion and there is a self entitlement that comes out of that. But when they experience some of these underprivileged kids, that the music becomes the food for the spirit, and the music keeps them alive and keep them giving them dreams. I think there's a whole element of humanity and an effect that has in somebody's life that is so deep. And sooner than I said, man, I feel so much gratitude, like gratitude, feeling gratitude. I feel so much gratitude. And then something changed. I think gratitude is the step to greatness. You know, it's what takes us to greatness, to have gratitude. And when they feel how music, the power of music, how music really changed people's life, they feel important, but they also feel responsible, which is a big key of these exchanges, to know that one's talent is actually a responsibility and a gift.
Right.
It's a responsibility. So it changed them completely. They come back and they do all the stuff. There's no question about
right.
it. They're so happy. They take everything for granted sometimes.
Yeah.
They forget about that. And it goes in doses. You know, you got to go back and do something like that again.
Right.
Because it's easy to forget here.
Yeah.
About all the things that we take for granted.
Absolutely.
With these processes that they actually start appreciating what they have.
Right.
And this is really where we're coming from. The music, the power of music has many components in our life, transformation, but also I think realization and understanding that we are healers, actually.
Right.
You know, and when they see how important this is, when somebody hasn't eaten in a week, maybe twice,
yeah.
but that if he plays an instrument, that's the food that he needs for his soul. This is a click, you know,
of
like
course.
Something clicks in the mind.
Absolutely. Along with your experience in Panama, where are some of the other places that you have traveled with the Institute, and what are some prominent moments you've had along with what you've just described?
Well, they've been in Siena, and that was a great experience for them. I wasn't there that Marco, our managing director, took them. And they say it was fantastic because they was changing with people from Europe, a whole different situation.
Right.
And they learn a lot about the culture, the food. They learn about history. You know, Siena is such a beautiful city. And so that those exchanges has a very important component because they are in there. They're learning a lot about the world.
Yeah.
And getting away from the daily environment they are, you know. Becoming globalized,
right.
and to have that mentality. Another great experience we had was in Puerto Rico, you know, and that was fantastic. That was
yeah.
comparable to others' experience. When you go to Latin America, you see a lot of things that you know. I keep repeating that you take for granted, but you keep seeing how much we have,
right?
And you know, and sometimes how much people do with very little, you know.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, today they're going to the Green Group is going to represent us in the concert in Paris, which is celebrating the International Day,
right.
and we have been invited to be there. That's I just was in a meeting with them explaining how important this is.
Right.
This is beyond the idea of playing a jazz club festival. This is something where the musicians make a statement, you know, like ambassadors of the music.
Right.
You know, why not the people who will lead this country to a new era, you know, but literally, you know.
Yeah.
That was an amazing. They just came from the Blue Note. They were playing with Joe Lovano.
Right, exactly.
I mean, this is like endless amount of experiences that they have had. They just were in Monterrey,
yeah.
and they exchanged with a group of African drummers and talented kids.
Yeah.
Constantly, they are exposed to experiences that will give them more tools
right.
for them to really understand the power of music.
Yeah. Well, let's get into some music, and let's listen to one of yours, Danilo. How about Galactic Panama, since we've been speaking about Panama so highly. Now, I recall about a month ago, I heard a beautiful rendition of this at the Summit concert here at Berkeley, yeah, with my dad, as well as George Garzon, yeah, and John Patitucci and Lovano, and it was excellent. So
yeah, and actually, yeah, I had a friend, your dad, Dave Liebman, one of my big influence, and it's amazing how we reconnected, you know, in
right.
Christmas. He sent me an email, and my father also was talking about the same recording.
Right,
so
he told
me
that.
I felt such a need to call him, and I sent him an email. And man, the experience we just had, the little minute we just play after the rain, and gave me goosebumps.
Yeah.
The sound and the mystery of that, and how he jumped and all of this, too. I love that. I love how... That's what I love about jazz, you know.
Exactly.
It really is a vector for freedom and tolerance and exchange.
Definitely.
So that was fantastic. That experience started in Panama.
Right.
Where the kids actually not only taught, because they teach also when they go through all these exchanges, but they also learn. So we learn a rhythm called Tambor Norte.
Right.
Which is a very representative rhythm from Panama. And you know, and it has like a lot of 2 and 4, 2, 4, 2, 4, and a lot of 6, 8, or 3 in the middle, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Right.
So this music is Galactic Panama. It's my dream of seeing Panama in the next 50 years.
All right. Well, let's check it out. This is Galactic Panama from Danilo Perez off of Providentia, so yeah, most recent release. And then we'll be back with more from Danilo in just a minute.
My name is Danilo Perez, piano and composer from Panama City, and you are listening to Read and Deed 2 at WECB.
We are back on Reason Deeds 2 here on WECB. We're talking with Danilo Perez. What we just heard was Galactic Panama. And we're talking about this upcoming performance at the Regatta Bar on May 2nd with the Berklee Global Jazz Institute. So now I have a question a little bit more on the, you know, the technical side, perhaps, of the Institute.
Mm-hmm.
The students seem that they're incredibly busy, incredibly booked and packed with all these exciting things that they're doing. How exactly does the Institute fit in with the curriculum at Berklee? How do they manage to do it all? Because it seems like they're always traveling and on tour. So how does that work?
Well, you know, one of the things that the Institute did from the beginning was that, you know, the vice president, the president and the vice president were very key on me having a very important element of connection and to understand how this system was working. And one person who has been crucial is Matt Barbuglio,
right,
who is the Dean of Performance. So he's taught me a lot, and he actually directed and created the whole connection and the ensemble for the experience to be unified with what Berklee is about to. And it's a challenge because, you know, you have to complete the core of what Berklee is, but we have found a way that works for them, that where they complemented some classes, some of the courses that are coming, some courses that we have designed. Matt also helped me to, with my Marco and my wife Patricia also has been crucial in this. We have designed the component of the pieces, and now they, how they will fit together, and we're still developing. This is the beautiful thing about it, that we started with a certain basic, and now it's building on.
And how long has the Global actually been in existence here? Has it been 2 years?
Yeah.
So it's kind of fairly new in the,
yes,
in the essence. Now, when you're looking for students to do the Global, and I know that you're just dealing with auditions actually right now, as you know, as we speak, or last week, what are you looking for in the students? Because the level is incredibly high.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I can't even believe that they're students.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you're looking for, or that, rather, what is it that these students have that made them stand out so much to be part of this great organization?
Mm-hmm. One of the things is, like, we're looking for, of course, there is a component of artistry. I'm looking for a student with a vision. But I'm also looking for somebody who feels responsible about the gift he had, about sharing that with others, about bringing the music to the community, using music as a vector for peace, vector for freedom, equality, democracy.
Mm-hmm.
People who understand that music can go beyond the regular idea that has an impact. I want to be a warrior, some kind of somebody who wants to wear a shirt of Superman, you know, who feel,
yeah,
but he has to be a model. It has to be a model. Somebody who is able to create leadership in others. I believe that's what we are really focusing on. To
mm-hmm.
look for the examples of people who can create leaders and create leadership in others.
Right. So the group that you're playing with then on May 2nd, so we have Sophia Rubina, who we actually just heard from earlier today, as well as, let's see, Isaac, Alex,
yeah,
the great group, Spencer,
yeah,
an amazing group of students. What can you say about these particular students that you're going to be playing with? I mean, you've played with them, of course, before,
yeah,
many times.
Yeah.
So what should the audience expect from these kids, or
well,
not kids?
a lot of adventure and creativity. This group of Global Jazz Institute ambassadors, I would say that they are setting the standard for what the Institute really is going to nurture from. I think they are role model, the way they behave, the way they play, the way they act. They are setting up a standard, and I at that level, when you are exchanging with somebody musically, and you understand how music and life is sort of like interconnected, the experience is really, really full. So I'm looking forward to jumping in the pool, not even realizing if there's water or
right.
You know, but we're looking for the improvisational. We call that compromising, which is composition and improvisation in the moment. And I'm really excited. It becomes an adventure, really. It's like, let's play like children. Right. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
That was like that. What happened with your dad the other day? When you have that kind of connection, you understand that music is universal,
right.
and it's even deeper than talking sometimes. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Not even, but you know, well done. It creates other moods that sometimes words can do.
Right. So, with that said, what is your vision for the future of the Berklee Global Jazz Institute? What are your immediate goals and perhaps some of your long term goals with this program at this point?
I'm really, hopefully, looking forward to create a model that could inspire other models and really work in developing ambassadors of this music.
Mm.
Because what we are finding right now in everything, I have complete confidence that if the people from Wall Street would have been jazz musicians, or have a sense of what it is to do a collective improvisation, I don't think we'd have been in this mess. And that's
yeah.
I'm a believer of that. And that musicians from here on really said, okay, we leave everything to, you know, politicians, to other people to deal with the world. It's time for us to play it and to also be a testimony to them. And that's what I'm looking for, that a new generation of citizens who are all musicians,
mm-hmm.
who are talking about values since you are 1 year old, 2 years old, through the music. You're talking about tolerance, you're talking about dealing with racism through music, talking about equality, vector for freedom, vector for peace. And see in jazz the new model that could be, that becomes a paradigm for all the other disciplines. No matter where what you do, you use jazz as your source for inspiration.
Yeah. My last question for you is, so as a musician, obviously you have quite the catalog and everything. I mean, you've been around, we know that. How has working with the Global for the past 2 years influenced you personally, directly as a musician? Has it changed you at all in your approach to music and just in general, you as a musician working with these students?
Absolutely. I told him last time, I said, you know, I'm stealing a lot of you as you are, think you're stealing from me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some beautiful writing is coming out of here.
Yeah.
Some beautiful ideas, some beautiful colors, you know. Some of the guys playing, you know, like we are violin. I mean, that sound.
Right.
And it's giving me ideas to write. It's giving me ideas to exchange. I mean, they come up with ideas. It's the way we have it is, it's so much like a real experience. This is what I love about the Institute, that it goes beyond the classroom. It's, you don't even know where the limit is, and it's an invisible border.
Right.
You know? So when I'm listening to the pieces, I'm learning, you know, the melodies. So it's a constant. I think that's what I love the most about it, that this is becoming now a way to get my juices flowing.
Right, yeah.
And have good ideas and... The Institute is becoming relevant in my life to continue being a creative musician, to be able to understand. And you know, I ask them, "What are you listening? What's happening?" You know, like
yeah.
it's an amazing experience.
Yeah, the Global is definitely is an amazing experience, even to see live at any point. So this gig that's on the 2nd is going to be quite spectacular. So I definitely encourage every listener in the Boston area to check it out. Danilo, do you have any last words about it, and anything, your last push to get those people to come out on Tuesday?
Yeah, you don't want to miss this, especially because we are coming out of celebrating International Jazz Day.
Yeah.
This is going to be exciting. It's going to be celebrated in 3 different cities: Paris, New Orleans, and New York.
Right.
So we're coming right fresh out of this tour. And also, come and experience something that, even if you may think that you're going to hear music, maybe we are going to be delivering medicine, a medicine full of optimism, and we're going to, the antidote for, if you're feeling down, you'll have some vaccines to help you out. Vaccine of hope and vaccine of really, really encouragement for you to continue and be fearless in your life. No fear, and moving forward. So don't miss this opportunity to exchange with us, and us with you too.
Absolutely.
We find great symphonies in everywhere we go.
Well, there you go. Danilo, thank you so much for talking to me about this, and for sharing your words and wisdom. We really appreciate it here on the show. And we're going to close out with Suite for the Americas, Part 1. Anything about this track before we play it?
This was a commission piece by Chicago and mm-hmm. Chicago Jazz Festival. And it was actually wrote it with Steve Lacy in mind that did. And I mixed traditional music from Cuba with the patas and the blues. I had a blues player, and that was my presentation of how I saw music becoming a cultural exchange where all these things could be worked out, all this stuff, and it worked.
Yeah.
And that's what we recorded, you know. And unfortunately, Steve Lacy didn't do the recording in the record, but the Motherland Project became alive out of this experience.
There you go. All right, so let's check it out. This is Suite for the Americas with Danilo Perez. You're listening to Reads and Deeds 2 on WECB. I'm Lydia Lieben, and we'll be back with more music following. Enjoy.